Healing our brokenness. And tonight we are celebrating episode number 15, The Sin of Complaining. We complain when we have to work. We complain when we don't have enough work. We complain when it's too hot. Then we complain when it's too cold. We complain when we have too many choices of what to cook for dinner. We complain when we hardly have any food in the refrigerator. We complain when we don't have anyone calling us. Then we complain when our phones are blowing up. Complaining is sin. It carries with it several friends: anger, negativity, disobedience, and discontentment. Truth number one: when we complain about provision, we are complaining against God, Jehovah Jireh, our provider himself. Exodus 16, 2-3 says, "In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, 'If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you brought us out here into this desert to starve this entirely assembly to death.'" Moses was so sick of the Israelites complaining that he went to God to see what it was that he should do. In Exodus 16, 4-8, we are given an idea of the conversation that went on between Moses and God. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days.' So Moses and Aaron said to all of the Israelites, 'In the evening, you would know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you would see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that we should grumble against us?' Moses also said, 'You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread that you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You're not grumbling against us, but against the Lord.'" Fed up is what you can detect that was going on at this point. And Moses said, "I am fed up." Notice twice he said, "Who are we? You're not grumbling against us." He made it clear to the Israelites that they were grumbling against the Lord. And this is what gives us a clue into how bad the murmuring and complaining had gotten, and how sick and tired of it that Moses was. Moses had some leaders to come to him about what the people were doing was the next thing that happened. They were up in the complaining spirit themselves, that they missed out on the fact that what the people were doing was actually the right thing that God had told them to do. And that leads us to truth number two. Complaining causes us to miss out on the things that are being done right. In Exodus 16:21-23, it reads, "Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed. And when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, 2 omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, 'This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning.' Satan got a foothold of me in the area of complaining. It had gotten to the point where I was doing a majority of the household chores. I was overwhelmed with trauma and everything else that I had going on at the time. Instead of going to God with my pain, I got caught up in the spirit of complaining. I hopped on a train, letting my thoughts go from one thing to the next as more and more negativity filled my spirit. And this was in regards to everything that wasn't done in the house. And that's what happens with complaining. You think of one thing and then you say, 'Oh yeah, and then this. Oh yes, and then that's not done.' And I just kept going on and on and on. Anger was spewing out. I got to the point where I couldn't even stand myself. My therapist mentioned to me to start reframing the situation so that I could move forward. She reminded me that we put in so many different things, however, they may not show up until later on in adulthood. And between this information she gave me about reframing and God dealing with me in my small group Bible study on pouring in new wine, and it was a lesson specifically directed towards moms, I finally got a handle on things. Satan had got me so caught up that, like those leaders running to Moses, I had missed out on all of the things that they were doing right. When we ride the enemy's train, it's a lose-lose situation. When we ride God's train, he helps us to sort the mess out. That is when we come to him first. The next truth when it comes to complaining would be truth number three. The spirit of complaining causes flat-out disobedience. What happens at this point is that we end up doing what we want to do. We know better than God. God gives commands to us, and we just figure we're just going to do what we want to do anyway. In Exodus 16:24-28, he gave commands for them not to collect on the Sabbath day, but the Israelites collected anyway. So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because tomorrow, today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You'll not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you're to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the Sabbath day to gather it. But then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Truth number four when it comes to complaining. Complaining mixed with trauma causes you to be delusional. The Israelites, like myself, had experienced years of abuse. When you are in an abusive situation, there are mean and sweet cycles. When you experience trauma and you're later triggered, you realize that the five senses get separated and over-exaggerated from the events that actually happened. The good feels really good because you don't look at the entire situation in the context that it was happening. The Israelites ate good as part of the sweet cycle of abuse. Pharaoh needed them to be strong so they could work as really hard as part of slavery. Delusions came in when they thought that eating as part of their bondage in slavery was better than freedom because of their struggles in the wilderness. And this is oftentimes what happens to us when we are in the wilderness. We start to prefer bondage over freedom because of the difficulties. In Numbers 11, 1 through 11, it says, "Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burnt among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord and the fire died down. So that place was called Taberah because fire from the Lord had burnt among them. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, 'If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, all the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna.'" They got sick of the manna plan. Now let's look at the next two effects of complaining. Truth number five. Complaining infects the leaders by wearing them down, infusing them with the spirit of anger and impulsivity. God gave Moses explicit directions to speak to the rock so that it would bring forth water for the congregation and their beasts. Instead of speaking to the rock, Moses spoke to the people. In Numbers, the 20th chapter and 10th verse, it says, "He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, 'Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?'" I bet this was a shocker to God's ears along with the people's. And it brings us to truth number six about complaining. Complaining causes us to use the very tools that God has given us as resources for our calling as a tool for release of our frustrations. In Numbers 20, 11 through 12, it says, "Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them.'" God never instructed Moses to use his staff to hit the rock for the water. He wanted him only to use his voice so that the power of God would be seen among the people. What a price to pay. So now the bottom line here is that how do we get out of the cycle of complaining? What is our cure? The first thing we need to do is to be honest about what it is that we're doing. To admit, to confess that complaining is a sin. So we need to confess the sin of complaining to God. The second thing that we're to do is to ask God to cleanse our hearts. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." The next thing that we want to do is to ask God to help us to figure out how to reframe the situation. And a lot of times the issues with complaining, whether they're chores at home or things not getting done in the house or things not getting done at work or things not getting done at church, or whatever it is, nine times out of ten, it's according to how we feel that we're doing all the work. And what happens is, if we're looking at it in terms of from the verse in Colossians where it says, do everything as unto the Lord and not unto men. If we're doing it as we're working unto the Lord, the sin of complaining will also lessen. The next tip would be making a note of everything that we are grateful for in regards to that situation and that person. And lastly, we are to be praying for deliverance from it, having our small groups to pray for us for deliverance from this, as well as the individual's inner circle. I hope that you've been blessed with something from tonight's episode, and I pray that you have a blessed rest of your week. Good night.
That I've seen the world from His great love. How could I know what He could love? How would I have seen what He had in store for me if I didn't give up and let Him be my valley of grace, where things would change and maybe they refined.